everyone, we'll commence our service of worship today by singing together the hymn number 6 in your hymn book, the hymn number 6 in the page 177. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. The hymn number 6 in the page 177, standing as we sing and singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we approach unto thee, O God, the Sabbath morning. We come in no merit of our own, but Father, we come through the name of our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And Father, we thank thee today for the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he came into this world to be our Savior. And Father, we thank thee that he died an atoning death for sinners. We thank thee, Father, that he poured out his life unto death, even the death of the cross. And that, Lord, in that once for all sacrifice for sin, Lord, he satisfied the justice of God. He met the demands, O God, of thy law. He paid the penalty of our sin in full. And Lord, thy word declares that he died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee for his precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all our sin. We thank thee that Christ died and that he triumphed over death and over the grave and over hell, and that he is alive forevermore, that he triumphed over all the powers of hell and of darkness, and that he rose again the third day. We thank that he is the victor, that he is the one that conquers death, that conquers sin, that conquers grave, that conquers the powers of darkness. And Father, we thank thee that he has ascended on high as our great high priest in the glory. And Father, we thank that there he lives to intercede for us. And we thank thee, O God, today that we are accepted in the beloved, that we can worship thee, the eternal God of heaven, the great I am. And we can approach thee through Christ, our Redeemer, none daring to make us afraid. And Father, we just rejoice, O God, today in thy mercy, thy love, thy kindness, and thy grace, O God, that has been revealed unto us, O God, made known to us in the gospel, that through thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through all that he did for us and is doing for us. And Father, we just pray today that thou wilt bless our coming together. We confess, O God, our unworthiness, our sins, and our iniquities, and we pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's precious blood. Father, we pray, give us that right spirit to meet with thee today. Take away distracting thoughts and cares, O God, that are not of thee. And Father, we pray that thou would center our hearts and our minds today upon the Lord. Thou said in thy word that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. And Lord, thou hast told us in thy word that we're to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. And grant, Lord, that every part and detail of our times today in thy house would be that which brings glory and honor unto thy name, that Christ would be magnified in all of our worship today, O God, we pray. Now, Father, we do thank thee for all who've been able to come to thy house today, and bless every head bowed before thee, O Lord, and meet the need of every home and family, Lord, that is represented. And we just pray that thou would bless every believer, every child of thine in this house, Lord. Encourage thy people, strengthen thy people, lead every Christian into a closer relationship, Lord, with thyself, we pray. For any going through times of trial and testing, we pray that they will know the strengthening hand of God. Those perhaps who need a word of guidance, we pray that thou wilt be their guide. And for Father, for any who may be walking afar off from thee, may they know that restoring grace and restoring touch within their heart. And Father, for any with us today not saved, who have never come as a sinner to Christ, we pray that even today, that it will be a different day with them, and that they might repent of their sins and believe the gospel and trust Christ to be their own and personal Savior, we ask. Bless our homes and our family circles too. Unite them all in the Lord, O God, we pray. And for those unable to join with us today because of age and sickness, Lord, and infirmity, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to their needs, we pray, by the grace and power of God. And for others in hospital, touch them, we pray. And others who have suffered loss in recent times, comfort their hearts. And others from our fellowship off on holiday at this time, may they know thy reviving touch, that strengthening touch, refreshment from the Lord in their hearts and in their souls, O God, we pray. Father, we thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. We thank thee for the children's meetings and the youth meeting and the week that has gone by. Bless the seed that has been sown and the efforts that have been made, Lord, to reach the children and the young people with the gospel. May all these children and young people be saved and grow up to serve thee, to follow thee, and to live for thee in their day and generation, O God, we ask. Now, Father, we do pray, O God, today for our land, O God, that thy blessing would be upon it. Remember, Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, O God, And bless all of our sister congregations. Do remember the south of this land as well, O God, and the mainland of Britain, Lord. Bless every faithful testimony, Lord, for Thee. Lord, encourage Thy people, advance Thy cause, build Thy church, Lord. And we pray that in these days in which we live, that many will come to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Do remember that mission as it will continue in Newton Stewart and down in Oma and other missions on at this time. Bless them. We think of the forthcoming outreach planned at the Ploughing Championships this week down in County Leash, Lord. Bless the literature that would be given out there, and be pleased to speak and to bless, we ask of Thee. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries today, those that labor here at home and those that labor in different continents of the world. We pray that Thou will bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them, keep them in good health and strength, and use them, Lord, to reach many with the gospel. We think today of the land of Ukraine, and we think of those other countries of Morocco and Liberty, where there's been a great tragedy in recent times. Bless especially the witness of Your people in that land. Meet their needs and encourage them by the grace of God. And we pray for peace and stability again, especially in that land of Ukraine. We pray for our land, our nation, Lord, here, that will see days of revival and reformation. Do remember our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of the gospel and the light of Thy truth would shine into their hearts, that there might be a turning away from sin and false religion, and that turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ, even in salvation. Remember, Lord, those that rule in our land and in our nation. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And may they realize their responsibility to rule in accordance with Thy word. And we pray that they might be guided by Thy word, and that there might be a turning to Thee, even in the places of power and authority and government in our land and in our nation, O God, we ask. Heavenly Father, O God, we thank Thee, O God, today that Thou art upon the throne. And we thank Thee that Thou art the great I Am, and that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And Father, we pray that in these days we pray in which we live, that there might be a turning in many hearts and lives, O God, unto Thee. Bless us today, we pray. We thank Thee for all the temporal mercies of life, for health, for strength, freedom and liberty, to gather, Lord, in this fashion. We thank Thee for the Word of God and the privilege of being able to praise Thee together as a congregation. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless us in our time together today in Thy house. Lead and guide and direct by Thy Spirit. Grant a gracious sense of Your presence, O Lord, we pray. And Lord, may we leave this meeting house today knowing of a truth, Lord, that it was good for us to be here, for here we met with Thee, our God and our Savior. Bless us now, we pray. Give help and be one of our number as we continue on before Thee. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Returning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 130. In your hymn book, the hymn number 130. Arise, my soul, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before thy throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands. The hymn number 130, the page 228, will stand as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. have your Bible with you this morning, but ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Song of Solomon and to the chapter number 3. We're turning in the Scriptures, the book of Song of Solomon in the middle part of the Old Testament. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. I'm beginning a reading at the verse 1 of the chapter. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together today. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath a sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, and the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown, wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 11. And our prayer is that God will richly bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. So at this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone in the Lord's precious name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here today. I bid you all a very special, warm word of welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior. And if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home and that you know the rich blessing of the Lord with us today around God's Word. And if you're here today and you're not saved, we pray that even this day will be the day of your salvation, that you'll put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus, know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened, led on with the Lord, and drawn closer to the Lord today. We welcome also those who may be viewing online. We thank you for joining with us. We pray God will bless you today through his holy and precious word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Tonight, 6:30, the evening prayer meeting, the prayer room there at the front, encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer. And then the gospel service at 7 p.m., we belong to minister God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tomorrow night, Monday night, is the annual ladies' rally up in our Dungannon church. That's at 8 p.m., and there's a number of ladies leaving and going from the church here to that. And all ladies planning to go, would you meet here at the church car park at 6:30? So do remember that. Anyone else that is intending to go and you haven't yet put your name on the sheet, would you please do so today out there on the table on the porch and put your name on that sheet for that meeting tomorrow night. Also tomorrow night, 8 p.m. in our Martyrs Church is the ordination service for Brother Mr. David Wilson, the new minister in Ballyclare congregation. Pray for our brother as he takes up that work. And again, all are welcome to that ordination service. Tuesday night here in the church at 8 p.m. is a special missionary deputation meeting for the work of Guinea, West Africa. Our brother Mr. David Burke, a member of our church in Market Hill, has labored there for many years with New Tribes Missions, and has done a sterling work of translating the scriptures in particular into the people's language. And he'll be coming to bring God's word and bring an update and a report on his work. There'll also be a retiring offering for that work. So do remember that. Pray for our brother as he comes and encourage as many as possible to gather Can I just also say that the meeting will not be broadcast in sermon audio, so it's really due to security concerns for God's people in that land. So if you want to hear what's happening in Guinea, West Africa, you need to come on Tuesday night here to the service. So do remember that. We pray the Lord will bless our brother as he comes. Pray for the children's meetings throughout the week. Each night, 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Wednesday night, Lisbalaw, Thursday night, Maguire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel. Also here on Friday night, 8 o'clock, the Youth Fellowship. Commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. Our brother, Mr. Richard Edwards, will be speaking to the young people on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 24th of September, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, preceded by the half hour of prayer. And the preacher at the morning meeting will be our brother, the Reverend Morris Baxter. I'll be taking the service over in Kilskerry. And then the evening gospel service at night here in the church at 7 p.m., preceded by the half hour of prayer, will belong to Bring God's Word. And also be the annual service for the Enniskillen Royal Black Preceptors coming here to have their annual service. So pray for that, and pray for all who will come and gather around God's Word, that God will bless His Word to them on that occasion. Friday night, the 29th of September at 8 p.m., in the Ecclesville Centre in Fintner, there's a meeting outlining the error and the evil of that new RSE curriculum, the importance also of Christian education. That's organised by our Education Board Committee. And the preacher there is the Reverend Brian McClung. All are welcome. There's wee leaflets regarding that. Also, the following night, Saturday, the 30th of September at 7 p.m., in our Martyrs' Church, there's another rally organised by our presbytery, again, highlighting the facts, the evil and the error of the RSE curriculum. And the speaker there is Mr. Callum Webster from the Christian Institute, and you're most welcome there. We'd also ask you, please, to pray for the outreach this week down at the Irish National Ploughing Championships. That's really, we'll go down tomorrow night. There's a team of 10 going down back on Thursday nights down in Rathniski and County Leash. Pray for that. Pray for the literature, the book table, the calendars, and that souls would be saved. Around 100,000 people attend that ploughing championships every day. And we're just, I suppose, a little witness amongst them all. But pray that God will use that witness to reach souls for Christ. Again, a word of thanks to all the ladies who have helped providing foodstuff for that. It is deeply appreciated. This day, fortnight, Lord's Day, the 1st of October, will be our communion service immediately after the morning meeting. That's open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember His death in His own appointed way. And on that matter, again, anyone wishing to come into a membership here in the church, you feel the Lord has led you here, this is where you want to make your home, as it were, do speak to us about that matter. We'll be glad to help you in any way. Tuesday night, the 26th of September, 9:30, after the prayer meeting, there's a meeting of the church committee. I ask the brethren to remember that. And then on the Thursday night, the 28th of September at 8 p.m., there's a meeting of the church session. And I again ask the brethren to remember that, please. God willing, Monday afternoon, the 2nd of October, at 2 p.m. meeting here at the church car park, the restart of the door-to-door outreach. Pray for that. And again, if anyone can help, we'd be glad of your company in that outreach. There are wee invitations there as well for the harvest services and the forthcoming mission coming up at the end of October with the Reverend Morrow. Take those. We encourage you to take them and give them out to family members and friends, and be much in prayer for those special meetings, that there'll be a time of reaching out with the gospel and that precious souls would be saved. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again to the hymn number 371. 371 in the page 326 of your hymn book. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. The hymn number 371. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. 371, remaining seated.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I adore Thee.
universe. Please to that passage of scripture we read earlier, to Song of Solomon and to the chapter number 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. If God's word open before us, let us bow in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already. Lord, just continue with us here in thy mercy and in thy grace. Pour out thy spirit upon us as we come to consider thy word. Draw near. Give help to this preacher, Lord. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto us. Give right words, words directly, Lord, from yourself. Let nothing be said, O God, that is not of thee. And apply thy word to every heart and soul as thou would see our need. Use thy word, Lord, to the strengthening and the sanctifying of thy people, the saints of God. Use thy word, O God, to the saving of the lost, those that are still out of Christ, Lord. May they be brought to saving faith today, we pray. And Lord, we pray, use thy word to bring glory and honor unto thy name. Abide with us, give help, give perfect liberty and utterance in the Holy Spirit. Let thy word have free course amongst us today. Do every heart good. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now our text of scripture for today you'll find in the opening words, as it were, the early words of verse number 1 there of the Song of Solomon, chapter number 3, where it simply says, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now one of the great blessings of being saved is the blessing of fellowship with Christ. Whenever a person repents of their sin and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within that person's heart. God Himself says, of such I will put my Spirit within you. Thus that person really begins a new life of fellowship with the Lord. Indeed, such was the blessing of this fellowship in his own life and the life of the Apostle Paul, after many years of being a Christian. Indeed, after many years of great blessing in his own life, that he still longed for deeper fellowship and closer fellowship with the Lord. Indeed, writing to the church at Philippi, he said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He longed to know more of the Lord's presence and fellowship in his life. Again, speaking of that same blessing of fellowship with the Lord, the hymn writer said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And they spoke there and testified of great blessing in their life as the Christian through knowing the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord. And it is indeed the same wonderful blessing of sweet fellowship with Christ that the spouse here in the Song of Solomon speaks of and refers to in her text here in verse 1 of Song of Solomon chapter 3, when she speaks of the Lord and she says, I sought him whom my soul loveth. And here the spouse, she tells of a longing in her heart, a burden within her soul for deeper fellowship with the Lord, deeper fellowship with Christ. She was longing to know more of Christ. Her burden was for a closer walk with the Lord and with the Savior. She says, I sought him whom my soul loveth. And you know, that really should be the longing of all of us who are saved by God's grace today in this service of worship. Yes, as you and I go through this life, as we journey towards heaven and towards glory, yes, we should have, as it were, a desire for a greater acquaintance and a greater knowledge of the Lord and a closer walk with the Lord and to know more of his presence and blessing in our life. Let me ask you, child of God, in the meeting today, is that the desire of your heart, the burden of your soul today in this meeting to know more of the Lord? Can you say here, yes, with the spouse and the Song of Solomon regarding the Lord, your Savior, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Tell me, have you come to this service of worship today to seek the Lord? He whom your soul loves, he who is your Redeemer, he who is your all and all. Oh, as we would think then upon these words, it's really highlight the believer's desire for fellowship with the Lord. There are three things I want to share with you just in connection with our text today. As the spouse says here of the Lord, I sought him whom my soul loveth. First of all, I want you to see here the believer's complaint. She says in her text, the spouse says in her text, she says, I sought him whom my soul loveth. But notice immediately what follows on. Following on from her text, the spouse says in regard to the Lord, I sought him, but I found him not. And her complaint was here that there was really a breaking down of her fellowship with the Lord. There was not that closeness with the Lord as had been in former times in her heart and life and soul. There was not that closeness with the Lord that she desired and that she longed for. Thus she makes this complaint at the end of our verse 1. And she says, I sought him, but I find him not. My people, can I say to you today, yes, this is a complaint that really can beset any one of us who are saved. Yes, our fellowship with the Lord can be hindered and not be as former times in our life as Christians. Our communion with the Lord may not be as strong as we would desire. No doubt the hymn writer spoke of that fact in his own life when he said, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And when he spoke those words, he was telling that he wasn't as close with the Lord as he had been in former times, that he didn't know the Lord's presence as he had once enjoyed in his life as a believer, as a Christian. Perhaps this is the case with you, dear believer, today in our service. There's not that closeness of the Lord as you once enjoyed. Yes, you must confess here regarding Christ, as the spouse confesses here in the Song of Solomon regarding the Lord. I sought him, but I found him not. This was her complaint. She longed for the presence of the Lord. She longed to know more of the Lord, but her complaint was, I sought him, but I found him not. My dear people, can we say today that there are many reasons, yes, why our walk and why our fellowship with the Lord can be hindered and why it can be impeded. You'll see here that in the case of the spouse here in Song of Solomon chapter 3, that there was lethargy and there was sloth. For in verse 1 of the chapter, notice what she says at the beginning of the verse. She says, by night on my bed I sought him. The bed for her was a place of ease, a place of lethargy, a place of a sloth. And the Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And child of God, yes, if you and I, if we allow spiritual sloth and spiritual lethargy and spiritual ease to take over our lives as Christians and are half-hearted and seeking after the Lord, then we too will not know the Lord's presence and the Lord's nearness as we should. Also, Christian, the Bible would show you and I as believers that the sin of unbelief also can hinder our fellowship with the Lord. Turn your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. And look there what you read in verse number 12 of that chapter. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse number 12. And it's written here to the Christian, to you and I who are saved. It says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." Notice the effect there of unbelief on the Christian. It causes us to be severed from the Lord. That breaking down is our fellowship with the Lord. And unbelief, what is it? It's a failure to take God at His word. And my, when unbelief takes over our hearts and lives as Christians, our fellowship with the Lord will be impeded. It'll be hindered. It'll not be as it once was. Also, something else, dear believer, if you and I as Christians allow ourselves to be consumed with the things of this world, and the things of this world take over our lives and our heart and our mind and our thinking, then that too will mar our fellowship with the Lord and with our Savior, Jesus Christ. You think of the words of the Apostle John as he writes to God's people in 1 John chapter 2 and the verse number 15. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And there he was writing to Christians, to those who were saved, those who are professing believers in Christ. And he says, "Love not the world." You think of a ship sailing out at sea. As it sails in the sea, all is grand when all is going well. You know, if that ship should start to leak in water, then there'll be distress for the captain, the crew, and all the passengers on board that ship. Great distress will set in if the leak gets bigger and bigger and the ship begins to fill up with water. And likewise, dear people of God, if the world takes over our life as Christians and our mind and our thinking as Christians, we become consumed with the world and the things of this world. The effect too will be distress in our life as Christians. And one of the aspects of that distress will be we'll not know the closeness and the sweet fellowship of the Lord as we should or as we did know in former times. By the world will hinder our fellowship, our communion with the Lord. Also, we can say further that indulgence in any known sin, That will hinder our fellowship, our communion with the Lord. Remember, David said in Psalm 66, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And if we go down a path as believers of deliberately indulging in a known sin that we know is wrong and contrary to the Word of God and the ways of God, that will mar, that will hinder, that will impede our fellowship with Christ as believers. Again, an unforgiving spirit as a Christian towards perhaps another believer in Christ. That too, if we allow it to harbor and to fester in our minds and our hearts as Christians, that leads to a gall of bitterness even towards another brother or sister in Christ, that too will mar, that too will hinder and impede our fellowship with the Lord and with our Savior and with our Redeemer. Then also as Christians, if we fail to yield to God's command and God's will for our lives as Christians, then we'll not know the Lord's presence as we should in our life. Yes, such things will cause us to complain with regard to Christ, like the spouse here did in the passage of Scripture before us. She speaks of the Lord, "Yes, I sought Him whom my soul loveth," but then she makes this complaint, "I sought Him, but I found Him not." You think of what Isaiah says to the Lord's people over in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. He says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Yes, we see here the believer's complaint, but not only do we see the believer's complaint here, notice secondly, the believer's perseverance. The believer's perseverance. Look at how the spouse here begins verse 2 of the chapter. She says, "I will rise now." And that's important to note what she says there. I will rise now. And in her complaint of not finding the Lord, notice carefully here, the spouse does not sit still in her despondency and do nothing. But rather, she stirs herself. She stirs herself immediately. She says, I will rise now. And she stirs herself to seek and to find the Lord and to know his nearness. For she says further on down in verse 2, I will rise now. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. There you see her perseverance and seeking after the Lord to know more of the Lord and know his presence and blessing in her heart and life. Dear people of God, can I say yes, this is a vital lesson for you and I also as Christians. In our quest and in our search to know more of the Lord's nearness and know more communion with the Lord in that quest, as Christians, we're not to give in to the devil. The devil would have us to wallow in our own self-pity as believers and do nothing, no. Rather like the spouse here in the Song of Solomon, by God's grace, by God's help, we're to stir ourselves and to persevere and seeking after the Lord, seeking after his nearness. Think of that great hymn that we were singing earlier on in our service. The hymn writer said, arise, my soul. And there was a desire in his soul to seek after the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. Christian, the Lord gives you and I a wonderful promise to encourage us to do so, to seek after the Lord as believers. Turn in your Bible over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter number 29. And believer, I encourage you to mark this verse in your Bible. And it will encourage you in your heart as a Christian, no matter what the circumstances are in your life as a believer, to seek after the Lord. Look at the great promise the Lord gives here in Jeremiah chapter 29 and the verse number 13. The Lord says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What a promise. Believer, mark that promise in your Bible. Encourage your heart to seek after the Lord. The spouse in the Song of Solomon in verse 2 of the passage, he says, I will rise now. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Oh, that would be the burden, the passion of all our hearts and our souls in this meeting today, to seek after the Lord, to seek after him, as it says there in the verse, whom our soul loveth. Now we see also here that the spouse, that she did not find the Lord in the city or the streets or in the broadways where she initially looks for her beloved. Notice carefully what she says there in verse 2 of the passage. She says, I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Notice carefully there what it says. She initially went out into the city, into the streets, and it says specifically, into the broadways. There's a lesson there for us as Christians. There's a warning there for us as Christians, and it is this, that we will not find the Lord or know his nearness as a Christian if we follow after the world. That's what's typified here in the verse when it talks about the city and the streets and the broadways. If we follow after the Lord and it's in godly ways and it's thinking, we will not know the Lord's presence and nearness as we should in our own lives as Christians. Can you think of what the hymn writer says? The hymn writer says, is this vile world a friend of grace to help me unto God? And the answer to that question is no. If we follow the Lord and follow the world and follow the ungodly and adopt the ways of the ungodly and the thinking of the ungodly, that will not draw us closer to the Lord. No, rather it will be the opposite effect. It will lead to a wedge between us and the Lord and our fellowship with the Lord. Oh, for that particular reason, the Lord says to us in his word, he says, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't follow after the ungodly ways, the thinking. Don't imbibe the ways of this ungodly, evil world to find the Lord. For we'll not find the Lord in the ungodly ways of the world. And that was a lesson here that the spouse learns. She says, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. But notice her continued perseverance. My, in her perseverance, she goes on to find the Lord. And we see how she finds him. We see where she finds him. For the spouse, he speaks here later on in the chapter of meeting with the watchmen of the city. And it is shortly after that she finds the one whom her soul loveth. Look at what she says in verse 3. In the beginning of verse 4 of the chapter, she says, the watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And it was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. Notice the mention there of the watchmen. The watchman of the city. In the Bible, the watchman is often used to depict God's servants who are faithful to the Lord, who are faithful to his word. Whenever the Lord commissioned Ezekiel, the Lord gave him this commission. He said to Ezekiel, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. And Ezekiel in his day was most faithful unto the Lord. And people of God, the lesson here for us is that we too will find the Lord, will know more of his presence, when we too as believers seek to be faithful to the Lord and to cleave to the Lord, to cleave to the word of God and cleave to the ways of God for our lives as Christians. Turn your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and look at the great promise there that Christ gives to his people who seek to follow him faithfully, who seek to cleave to his word and to his truth and to his ways. John's Gospel, chapter 14, 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Go down to verse number 23 of the chapter and look at what Christ says here and notice the promise that he gives in the verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Notice the promise. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That speaks of fellowship with the Lord. The Lord says, we will come unto him, make our abode with him. The Lord promises to draw near to his people who seek to live by his word, to be faithful to his word and to the ways of God and to cleave to the Lord in this ungodly world. The Lord says, we will come unto him, make our abode with him. Yes, we see here the believer's complaint. We see the believer's perseverance. Notice one final thought in connection with our text today. Notice the believer's resolution. What was her resolution when she finds her beloved? Well, look at verse 4 there, Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. And speaking of the Lord, the spouse says, I held him and would not let him go. She was determined not to let go of the Lord. And her action here in this occasion is the exact same as Mary Magdalene. And that other Mary who met with the resurrected Christ, with Christ after his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9, this is what it says about Mary Magdalene and her friends. It says, and they came and held him, that's the Lord, by his feet, and worshipped him. They too were determined not to let go of the Savior. They held him by his feet. That was the resolution of their heart, to hold on to the Lord, to be near the Lord, to know his nearness, know his presence, the resurrected Savior. And dear brethren and sisters in Christ, if we too are not going to let go of the Savior, then it's vital as believers that we pray, that we seek after the Lord, that we seek his presence in our life day by day as the people of God, that there's that continual offering up of the sacrifice of prayer in our lives daily as the people of God. You think of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The resurrected Christ drew near and then he made to leave them. But what did they do? They prayed. And this was their prayer. It says they prayed, Lord, abide with us. They wanted the Lord to draw near, to stay with them. And the Bible says, and he went in to tarry with them. The The Lord answered their prayer. And by praying and seeking the Lord, they knew the Lord abiding, drawing near. How important then it is that you and I pray day by day, that there's that offering up of the sacrifice of prayer in our lives daily as Christians. If we are to know the presence of the Lord, Christian, take time to pray, to seek the Lord. Then notice something else here in her resolution. Not only did she desire to not let go of the Lord, but in her resolution, the spouse here, she speaks of bringing the Lord into her mother's home, into her mother's house. Look at the latter part of verse number 4 there, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. She says, I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. And the thought here, dear people of God, is for us as believers, if we're to know the Lord's presence and nearness in our lives, then we must live for the Lord in our homes, amongst our family, amongst our loved ones, amongst our kith and kin, and be a faithful witness for Christ in our homes, amongst our family, amongst our children, our loved ones, where we reside and live day by day as the people of God. We're not to be like those who live for the Lord on a Sunday, but throughout the rest of the week have no time for the Lord. No. My, we must live for the Lord in our homes and our families, amongst our loved ones. That's how it was with Zacchaeus when the Lord saved him. The Bible says he received Christ joyfully. Yes, he received Christ into his heart to be a Savior, but he received Christ that day into his home where he lived, where he resided. In fact, the Lord spoke to Zacchaeus and he says, this day is salvation come to this house. How important it is that we live out for Christ in our homes and with our families. Then we can say further, this reference here to the mother's house is also a reminder of the church of Christ. Speaking of the Lord's church over in Galatians chapter 4 in the verse number 26, we read these words. It says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. And there that verse likens the church unto a mother. We've often heard speak of a church that is a mother to other churches that spring out of its witness. And again, the thought here is in Song of Solomon 3, verse 4, is that we will know, yes, much of the Savior's presence and nearness when we fellowship together with the Lord's people in the house of God, in the public seasons of worship, because the Lord has given us a very special and particular promise regarding that. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How important it is we gather for public worship. We thank the Lord for the use of social media. It's a great help, it's a great blessing to people that are elderly, who are sick, who are ill, who are shut in and no longer able to get out and are confined to their homes or a sick bed. But people, the ministry of social media is not church. God has ordained that as people gather together in the house of God with one another of like precious faith for mutual edification, that we might know the blessing of the Lord. And God gives a very special promise to draw near to his people, even should there only be two or three gathering together in worship. And dear Christian, it's by you and I been faithful in our times of public worship that we'll know more and more of the Lord's presence and the Lord's nearness. Notice something else here in the spouse's resolution. In the final part, we see here that the spouse's resolution was to live to please Christ and to avoid anything that would cause him to withdraw his presence from her. For look at what she says in verse 5 of the chapter. She says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And underline especially those last three words there in verse 5, till he please. What does that tell us here about the spouse? That her whole burden was to please Christ, was to please the Lord. That's all that she was concerned about. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this should be the ruling passion and burden of our lives as well as Christians. It should be to please the Lord, our Savior. Oh, when we think of Christ's love to us that took him from glory to the cross of ignominy and pain and woe. Think of his sacrifice for us, the shedding of his blood when he poured out his life unto death. Think of his redeeming grace in our lives as Christians. Oh, in light of such blessings, dearly, let us seek to please the Lord in our homes, in God's work, in our places of employment, in the community where we live. Let us seek to please the Lord. You think about Enoch. He was a believer who walked with God in a very, very ungodly age, a very ungodly world. Yet what does the Bible say about Enoch in Hebrews 11, verse 5? He had this testimony that he pleased God. He sought to please the Lord. Let us also seek to please the Lord. Think of the little children's hymn that we often love to sing and how true it is and important to us as Christians. In every way, the hymn writer says, try to please him. That's to be our goal in life as Christians. To live to please the Lord. And the outcome will be a sweet sense of the Lord's presence, the Lord's nearness in our life day by day. Yes, on earth as Christians, we will know days of heaven upon earth when we seek to please the Lord and to honor the Lord in all our ways. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting today, let me say this. That if you are to know the Lord's presence here in your life, here on earth, if you are to enjoy the Lord's presence forevermore in heaven and now in time, you must repent of your sins by faith alone, turn to Christ, trust Christ as your own and personal Savior. Have your sins washed away, pardoned by the blood of Christ. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanse of us from all sin. Oh, may you trust him today if you're not saved. Receive him by faith to be your Savior. Begin a life of walking with the Lord. And your life that will one day take you to heaven and take you to glory. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 423 in your hymn book. The hymn number 423, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. 423, we'll stand as we sing.
Away.
Our Father and our God, we pray that thou would bless thy word today to all our hearts. We thank thee for help given in the ministry of thy word. We pray that day by day as thy people that thou would ever keep us in the center of thy will, in the hollow of thy hand, keep us ever seeking after thee and looking after thee, O God, that we might know fellowship and communion with thee day by day in our homes, in our workplaces, in the community where we live, in thy work and all that we put our hand to as children of the Lord. Draw near, Lord, abide with us. And Lord, help us to show forth the love of Christ day by day. Keep us, Lord, from that wrong pathway. Keep us, Lord, as Christians from that wrong action, that wrong word, that wrong deed or attitude that would hinder or mar our fellowship, Lord, with thee and our walk with thee. And Lord, keep us in that place where thou canst bless us and use us for the glory of thy name. For any, Lord, in our meeting today, wandering afar off from thee, may they know thy restoring touch. For any, Lord, not saved, speak to them. May their sins put away by the blood of Christ, be saved by thy grace for time and all of eternity. Answer prayer, take us to our homes and safely journey with us. Keep thy hand upon us all for good in the week that lies before us. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.